Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
All right, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in Genesis chapter 21, and its title is A Preview of Christmas. And I want to read verses 1 through 8 in 21 and then be ready to flip to chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And we're going to see the kind of the beginning stages of Abraham and Sarah and when they are going to give birth to, eventual birth to Isaac. So you'll kind of see how this plays out. Verse 1 of chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now skip over to chapter 22, and now we're going to see Isaac at an older age as they go to the mountain where the Lord had told Abraham to sacrifice his son. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested, there's a key word there, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Can you imagine having to do that? But we love how the story turns out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you go through time as it is nothing. It's no problem for you to go into what we call our past. And Lord, how you were there in their present, foreshadowing, putting patterns together, putting things together, choosing a people called by your name so that whenever your son Jesus came, we would be prepared to receive him as our King and as our Lord and as our Savior. God, we thank you for the Old Testament and we thank you for the New Testament. Help us to understand these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. Heard a story about a man that was well respected in a church, and him and the pastor had a good relationship, and he came to the pastor one day and he says, you know, pastor, says me and my wife been married for almost 50 years. We're getting ready to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. And he said, there's just one thing that I wish that I could change in our marriage. And he said, well, what's that? He said, well, we fight every single day. Pastor was taken aback, and he said, you mean y'all fight every day? Oh, yeah, we fight every day. We have fought every day since the day we got married. And he said, well, did y'all fight today? And he said, yes, sir, we did. Well, what happened? Well, she came crawling to me on her hands and knees. She did? Yep. Well, what did she say? She said, Johnny, come out from under that bed, you coward, and fight like a man. Well, sometimes when we get in the Old Testament and we look at some of these difficult stories and we connect them to the New Testament, I can feel like that man hiding under the bed, because it can be very difficult putting these patterns together and seeing how everything connects. In the Old Testament, there's two things that I want you to see. The first one is the Old Testament prepares us. There's preparation and there's expectation. The Old Testament, from Genesis all the way through Malachi, is a preparation to prepare us for Jesus Christ and that kingdom that he came to bring and how to live for him, okay? And what his expectations are, which is what? Surrender to him, faith in him, as he brings the blood sacrifice for our sins. The second one is expectation, is in Jesus Christ. All of our expectations have been fulfilled. The Old Testament was just a series of one preparation and expectation after another passed to each generation through the Passover, through the ceremonies, through the ritual laws, and all those things all the way up until the coming of Jesus. And this is the New Testament. What is the New Testament? Number three, it's manifestation. So we have the Old Testament, preparation, expectation, and then in Jesus Christ we have the manifestation of what all the Old Testament was all about. So looking at your Bible in Genesis, let's look at Abraham. Let's look at preparation. The Bible says in chapter 21, verse 1, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken." Now, you could go back in time a couple of chapters back, and you would see where God appeared to Abraham and to Sarah. And he shared with Abraham that he was going to end up conceiving a child in his old age. And barren, his wife was barren. And Sarah was of old age as well. And Sarah thought, "I'm going to have a baby at my age." And by the way, Sarah had been barren all those years. Another thing that the Bible tells us about Abraham that you need to understand is that Abraham was a prophet. The Bible, remember when he went into the land and he said, "Sarah, you're a fair woman to behold, and so I'm going to tell everybody that you're my sister." And you can remember that the Pharaoh and everybody finds out that was his sister, and they are upset with him. And so he is referred to in the scripture, when all that is found out, as a prophet. He's not just the father of Israel, the original father. Now a little bit more understanding of that. Remember, whenever God told Abraham, "You're going to conceive a child and you're going to call his name Isaac." Remember when that happened? And what happened? It took time for that to come to pass. They had to wait until God's appointed time. Well, Sarah got a little bit impatient and said, "Let's have a son by Hagar." But Hagar had Ishmael, and Ishmael was not the promised son that was the promised seed. And Israel was not to be a descendant of Ishmael. The nation of Israel was to be a descendant of Isaac. It's very important. Now, you're going to see a pattern between Abraham and Isaac and the nation of Israel and the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and all those, the multitudes, who believe in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, sometimes we get so adjusted to the time that we live in that we see no other time other than this time right here on earth. But you got to remember that Jesus came from everlasting, that Adam and Eve were created. Of course, Adam fell in the garden. Adam and Eve fell, so we have the doctrine of the fall. And through the doctrine of the fall, we've all inherited a sin nature. Through the inheritance of the sin nature, we've all been separated from God. But because of Jesus Christ, you understand that we are brought near by the blood of the cross, by the blood of Jesus. Now you say, how does all that connect? I want to connect it to Abraham, and I want to connect it to Isaac. So look at verse 2. "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time," this is key, "of which God had spoken to him." There's always an appointed time with God. And you can apply that to your life today. You can say, "You know, I've been praying about this," or "I've been praying about that, and I've been waiting on the Lord for this, and I've been waiting on the Lord for that." You can trust the Lord. His timing is not our timing, but his timing is sure, and his timing is perfect, and his timing is right. Abraham and Sarah were people like you and I, and Abraham and Sarah had to trust by faith. They had to believe by faith, just like you and I have to believe by faith. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where we're saved. They had to believe in the word that the Lord had spoken to them. Now, something that you need to remember too in the preparation, remember in John chapter 8, when Jesus is having a dialogue with the Pharisees, and Jesus says that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And remember what they said, "How in the world could you know Abraham?" I mean, you're not even yet 50 years old. And Jesus says that before Abraham was, I am. You see, Jesus stepped into what we call Christmas past or history or in the past. Jesus was there. Jesus is the one who was in the burning bush. The Bible, that's a doctrine called a Christophany. Jesus was there revealing himself to Abraham, and Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And the Bible says, and saw it and was glad. What did he see? He saw the gospel prefigured. We're going to see that here in just a moment. And verse 3 says, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now, write down Romans chapter 15, verses 4 and 8. We're more familiar with 1 Corinthians 10:11, where it says these things were written as examples for us, talking about the Old Testament. But not very often do we quote Romans chapter 15, but there's something you need to see there. Romans 15, all of 4 through 8 is powerful, but I want you to see 2 points in that section of Scripture. He says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Okay? Then you come on down to verse 8, and he says, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God. What for? Watch this. To confirm the promises made to the fathers. Paul just said that basically everything that you read and study in the Old Testament was written for our learning. It was so that we could learn about Jesus. It's so that we could learn how it all connects. That we, through the patience and comfort, by the way, it took time. Jesus didn't come from the time the seed was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It took time for the Messiah to finally arrive, for the Messiah to come. And there was the patience and the comfort that the Scriptures brought, because we know that there is a Redeemer coming. They looked to the cross in the Old Testament, trusting that the Messiah would come and deliver them from their sins. We look in reverse back to the cross, trusting that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and will redeem us from our sins. If you and I were born in the Old Testament times, we would be practicing a rehearsal year after year after year. We would be studying how God found and chose a people for himself. And we would say, we have a father and his name is Abraham. We would say that. Why? Because it would be important to us that we were of the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob if you and I were Jews in that day. And so we would look back and we would see that we would be descendants of a peoples, of a multitude, of a nation. And what is that nation called? It is called Israel. Why did God choose to separate from all the world a people unto himself? He did that to demonstrate how he would operate, to demonstrate his covenants, to demonstrate his promises, to demonstrate how he would bring the Savior of the world into the world. And so for years and years, the Jews were a light to the Gentiles. All the Gentiles had to do is listen to the word that God spoke to the prophets that were a part of Israel, and listen to that word and watch what God did. Watch what God did. He parted a sea and delivered his people and allowed them to come out of Egypt. He brought bread from heaven. He brought manna that came from the heavens and hit this earth that fed them, and it was only good on a daily basis. They couldn't gather it up for tomorrow or the next day because it's our daily bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. You need it every day. They would look at Israel and they would see God giving them deliverance in battles. They would see God giving them deliverance through seas. They would see God doing this and God doing that. And it was to draw the Gentiles and to help the Gentiles to be able to focus on the Lord. And all of that was done, why? So that there would be a preparation. But then the preparation goes further than that. It goes to expectation. Now, Sarah and Abraham were probably starting to wonder after a few years went by. They were probably starting to wonder and saying, you know, when is Isaac going to be born? People were looking for Jesus. When is this Messiah going to come? Some probably started doubting God. Well, I hadn't heard that the Messiah is here yet. But he came in the fullness of time, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, right on time. And so finally, Isaac is born, and Abraham and Isaac understand that that is how the promised seed was to come. But Isaac represents how the Christ would come into the world. Isaac was born of a miracle. Jesus was born of a miracle. Isaac was circumcised on the eighth day. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. Isaac would be the father of many peoples as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the sea. Jesus would be the father, the redeemer of many multitudes of believers that would put their faith in him. And he has prepared a city for us. Listen, we have a place called heaven that we will one day be in. And we have an eternal kingdom that we will one day live in. We have a new Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem, the things of this earth, the temple, and the multitudes, all of those things, even how the tribes were laid out. All of these things were to point and prefigure and to give us an expectation about a city not built by man's hands, but built by God, that would come down, by which we would enter into and live for all of eternity. Does that bless your heart or what? Aren't you glad that what is right here today is temporary? I'm glad it's temporary. There's times I say, oh Lord, I wish you'd just come right now. Right now. But Abraham and Isaac prefigured that. Now, had it been anybody else, it couldn't have been according to covenant. It couldn't have been according to a promise. It had to be through Isaac. Isaac ends up having a son named Jacob. And then Jacob has some sons, and that is the 12 tribes of Israel, by which they kept up with the lineage to the detail. It was a big deal with the Jews to keep up with the lineage. And of those 12 tribes, these descendants of Abraham, these descendants of Isaac, these descendants of Jacob are going to be as the stars of the sky. And sure enough, they are. And you say, what does that point to? What does that mean? Look at it from the great big picture. Back off, get up there about as high as the clouds and look down at the Old Testament and the nation of Israel. God had a people that he could communicate with. He communicated through prophets in times past, according to Hebrews. God spoke to his people. He spoke to them how? Through prophets. But he says, but now in these days, that means the New Testament days, he speaks to us how? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the manifestation. So all of those years, for hundreds of years, they were expecting a Messiah. If you cautiously go through the scriptures, you'll find approximately 300 messianic prophecies of the Messiah and his coming. Now, here's what's interesting. In that 24 hours before Jesus was crucified, there were so many prophecies fulfilled that it stunned the theological world. If you read in the messianic prophecies of that Herbert Lockyer has written, all those messianic prophecies, they did a calculation to see just how accurate that could be, or the possibilities or the probabilities that many prophecies could come true in just a 24-hour period just before the crucifixion. Here's what they came up with. They used the law of compound probabilities, that if all this was by accident, that it would be 1 in 537 million. That's the probability. 1 in 537 million that you could have all those prophecies being fulfilled from the Old Testament in a 24-hour period. And that was not all of them. That was just the ones that dealt, like Isaiah 53 and a lot of others, that dealt with the crucifixion that was coming up, and even going and getting the donkey that was tied, and even the pitcher, follow the man with the pitcher of water and the donkey that was tied, the foal of the donkey. All of those prophecies that were listed in the Old Testament in that 24-hour period, all these different things that happened were pointing to the crucifixion. Now, we know that Jesus entered 1 week ahead of time into the Jerusalem with a triumphal entry. And so you have prophecies that lead up to the triumphal entry. You have prophecies that lead up to the crucifixion. And all those prophecies, it's incredible. It's not coincidence. You ask yourself, can I trust the Lord? And we've talked a lot about this in this Christmas series. You can trust the Lord. You can take His word to the bank because He is so deep. You know, you hear the scriptures like onion peels. You peel off a layer. Well, it's just a big old onion. And we just go a layer at a time. But I want to tell you that you can trust every word. There is a preparation. There is an expectation. And then there is a manifestation. The manifestation meant that everything that the Old Testament pointed us to came true. The wise men, they found an actual, literal, real Jesus. I love this baby Jesus that's up here in the table here under the light. I love that because it reminds me of the incarnation. That here is God leaving heaven, and here is God the Son taking up on Himself the form of a baby. You say, why didn't He just come in the form of an adult and skip all of babyhood? Because He wanted to come and identify with us. Adam was the first man. Adam was created. Adam came to be as the very first man. And so we all identified under Adam, every one of us. All of us have an identity. I don't know if Adam was bald or not, but he might have been. But we all identify with him. Every time we sin, it's because of our identity with Adam. Jesus, according to the scripture, is the second Adam. Now, he's not like Adam, but he's the second Adam in that he came not by the regular form of procreation. Jesus came by miraculous birth. Now, Isaac came by miraculous birth, but he still had to have a mother and a father. Jesus came born of a virgin, the second Adam. Now, go to Genesis chapter 22. Because what you're going to see, you saw the birth of Isaac. Pattern and a picture of Christ. And then we see right here they go up on this mountain. Look at verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, now watch this, your only son Isaac. You say, but didn't he have a son named Ishmael too? Yeah, that was with Hagar, not the child of promise. Read about that in Galatians. Your only son Isaac, the promised son, whom you love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And go to the land of Moriah, send him to a place, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now you saw in verse 2 that God referred to Abraham's son Isaac as your only son. Now look at verse 12. Abraham has placed Isaac at this point up on the altar. He's got the knife in the air. I believe that the son Isaac, that he had a conversation with him and said, Isaac, God is able to even resurrect the dead. We have to obey the Lord. And I believe Isaac loved his father so much. He believed his father. He trusted his father. And he was laid up on that sacrifice. And Abraham gets the knife in the air. And guess what happens? An angel comes to Abraham and stops him. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. You know who I believe that was calling him? Jesus. Notice it's capital A. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, Jesus is the capital A angel referred to. Abraham is in contact with the Word that has become flesh. And he said, here I am. I'd have said that too. You want to stop. Verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son. Now watch this clause he adds, your only son from me. God gave us his only begotten son to die for us. Now, you got to follow this. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And it was. Now watch this. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord." There's the Lord giving identity to himself as that angel. "Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sands which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." You know what's interesting? The Lord had said that he would provide the lamb. He would provide the lamb. It's interesting because guess what was Abraham found on the hill? He found a ram with horns, not a lamb. The lamb was provided in Jesus. Remember, Abraham was a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. Everything that took place right here in Genesis 22 was a picture of Jesus Christ giving his life for every one of us on Mount Calvary, all the way back there in Genesis. The birth of Isaac is a picture and a prefigure of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that time is of no essence for you. And Lord, you're not like a Hollywood director today, but Lord, you are one who directs events with your omnipotence, with your power, with your omniscience, your wisdom that is infinite. And God, we trust that your Son, Jesus Christ, came just as it was said, that he died on the cross, just as it was said, and that today he is offering the pardons of free life, giving it away for all of eternity to those who believe. And you may be in here this morning, and what greater gift could you receive for Christmas this year than to receive Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart? What greater gift could you do today than to be obedient to the Lord? Just as Abraham was obedient to carry his son up on that mountain. You can do that today. You can receive Jesus this moment right now. The Holy Spirit draws us. He woos us to believe in the Son. But you have to obey that conviction. And you don't want to keep putting that off because you don't know when your last day is on this earth. Would you give your heart to Jesus today, this moment? Simply say in your heart with your own words, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God. I believe that you were born of a virgin, that you came in a different way, that you identified with mankind, that you lived 33 years yet without sin, fulfilling the law on my behalf, and that you, as the innocent Lamb of God, went to the cross, that you were nailed to the cross, that you died for my sins, so that I wouldn't have to die in my sins. You gave your blood for me. Lord Jesus, I can't give you any work, but I give you my life just like it is. And then I'll give you all the work that I can if you'll save me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins just as I am. I come to you. Forgive me, save me, give me eternal life, and help me to follow you all the days of my life." And if you'll do that, the Lord will save you. It's by faith that you believe, and he'll show you he saved you because he'll begin to grow you and transform you and change you. You may be in here this morning, and God is dealing with your heart altogether different. Would you be obedient this morning? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.